Baraboo. CBS News special report. Police in Maine hunting for the man charged in the mass shooting that left 18 people dead.
Our investigators have been continuing to work 530 plus tips and leads that have come in from the general public. And as you can imagine, those vary greatly.
State Public Safety Commissioner Mike Soschuk says the two crime scenes where people died, a bar and bowling alley, will be a focal point for days.
We're going to be processing every square inch of these facilities. Not only do you have the victims in question, but every one of those rounds that got fired need to be investigated. Every one of those cartridges that lays on the ground needs to be collected.
He says they've been going through 40-year-old Robert Card's home and about a note that was found there.
I'm not prepared to really talk about what that included, because that does involve, is there a mindset here, is there a motive, what did that entail?
And people in the Lewiston area are being told to stay at home with their doors locked. CBS News special report. I'm Steve Kathan.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders of both parties in the Wisconsin Assembly say the push to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is a distraction. Republican Scott Krug and Democrat Lee Snodgrass spoke to a WISP Politics luncheon yesterday. Krug says there's a way forward that doesn't involve who's running WEC. He says he wants a better working relationship with local clerks. More than $388 million worth of key construction projects around Wisconsin are getting the green light from the State Building Commission. They include new buildings and upgrades at state parks, prisons, and universities, and other state-owned buildings. There'll be security improvements at Techeeta Women's Prison. Work will also get started on a new Wisconsin History Museum on Madison's Capitol Square. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Ethics Committee held a long debate on Thursday regarding $20 cash donations. Under Wisconsin law, anonymous political donations are limited to just $10. However, many of those donations are collected in cash at fundraising tables, and how to handle a $20 bill being found in one of the jars is unclear. One of the options that was proposed was to have the campaign committee donate the entire $20 donation to either the Common School Fund or a charitable organization. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the appointment of 30 members to the Task Force on Workforce and Artificial Intelligence. The task force was created to investigate how artificial intelligence will affect Wisconsin workers and businesses and find the best way to integrate the new technology to benefit all parties. The first public meeting of the Task Force on Workforce and Artificial Intelligence will take place on Monday, October 30th at 4:30 p.m. in Madison. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back, You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points, setting a new team record for a debut.
It wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy right away this morning. We'll see a little off and on sunshine here through the afternoon. Our high in the low 50s this morning. We're going to drop into the upper 30s to low 40s by late this afternoon. So today is a big transition day. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, cloudy with some snow showers in the afternoon and a high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning, happy Friday, October 27th. Greg Mock is on the board. Carol Kane is here with me in the studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always check in, call, and or text at 844-967-2789. Or you can watch us on the live stream on YouTube, Twitter, and the other one.
Facebook.
See, I have just so X'd Mark Zuckerberg out of my life. I don't even think about Facebook anymore.
No, because you couldn't get YouTube for a while. So now I feel like you can only memorize two of the three. Don't blame a billionaire in California.
Oh, come on. Just let me blame Zuckerberg. Yes. Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook that Zucker owns. You can watch on the live stream and always comment there as well. So we're going to do a little cleanup before we start talking about spooky places in Wisconsin and around the country. Just because I can't always get to all of the texts as they're coming in. So Andrew from Verona, you and I were talking about old costumes that we wore to Madison.
Yes.
For Halloween on State Street. And you were a large mouse.
I was a big mouse. I made a big papier-mâché head with big ears. And yeah, I don't ask me. And then one year, The one year, too, I went as Pinocchio. And I literally fashioned like this clay nose.
Wow.
And I had like bib overhaul shorts on with the high socks. And,
nice.
After I got done trick or drinking, I'm telling you, we were so irresponsible. We went over to the guy. We never even made it downtown. We went to the guy's dorm, and we went at, and after about a half an hour, I was done. That was it.
Well, Andrew from Verona says, Carol, the OG Freak Fester before they started tear gassing people.
Oh, yeah.
Freak
Fest.
Oh, God, yeah.
Freak Fest was crazy. And I dressed up as a devil. Oh, well. Actually, my favorite costume of all time was when I dressed up as Britney Spears in 20 years.
So that's hilarious.
This was when Hit Me Baby One More Time and she was dressed like a schoolgirl.
Right.
So I put my hair in pigtails. I blacked out some teeth. I drew on a whole bunch of lines, and then I got two balloons and filled them with Jell-O.
That's hilarious.
And put them in the fridge, so I had I had a shelf.
There you
go. Actually could carry.
I
could carry my drink in my cleavage.
That's hilarious.
Unfortunately, as the evening wore on, the Jell-O started melting, so I would turn, and then it would go slosh. And I would turn the other way to go slosh.
Oh, God.
And they were so.
But you know what?
I loaded them up so much, they almost knocked me over.
But to tell you the truth, almost apropos, because that would be something that would, you know, gravity takes its toll.
Yes, it does. All right, John from the Falls checking in. We had Andy Guss on at 10:30 to update us about what happened at the Menominee Falls School Board meeting about those 33 books. And John says, I just want to thank Andy for all the work he's doing to fight book banning agendas by our unqualified MAGA school board. And then we also did a little segment on politically inspired Halloween costumes.
Right.
And the 262 is in with a suggestion. Get a G.I. Joe costume with a bottle of whiskey and you're Derek Van Orden.
Well, you got to make sure, like, take that costume and also put a plane ticket in your hand.
Oh, well, there you go.
That'll work.
Yep.
That'll work. Otherwise, you could just carry around a milk carton with his face on it.
And you can also just scream at children.
Just start randomly yelling at teenagers.
Yeah. I went as Batman on the weekend one year where it was I had a cowl that was made of it wasn't a nice costume.
Okay.
It was a cheap cowl, so it went over my face. But then I just wore a t-shirt that said Batman, the old 60s Adam West logo. I had fashioned out of duct tape like a holster for a bottle of gin, and I just walked around to party. I was also wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops.
Oh, hot.
So that's hilarious. So I just walked around the party the whole time just complaining that you know, Wonder Woman left me and those kids aren't even mine.
And you needed like little signs that said, bam, wow,
kapow.
Yeah, absolutely.
My knee.
Yeah, oh, gosh, that's funny. Hey, if you want to share costumes or any scary places in Wisconsin you think people should know about, give us a call or shoot us a text at 844-967-2789. Great column in Up North News. It's upnorthnewswi.com. From Aaron Yarnell about the ghost walks and trails, all the places to go around Wisconsin if you are into spooky things. And there are a lot of people who are.
Oh, gosh. This is, for some people, this is their Christmas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, for a lot of people. Yeah. So
the first place they list, and I think this is pretty well known, but it's the Pfister Hotel.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you've talked to a number of pro athletes over the years because they tend to stay
Major
there.
Major League Baseball players are, you know,
they're really superstitious.
It's very superstitious. And there are some that will not, that for during the course of their career, would not stay at the Pfister. I even read a story about, this was a while ago, so don't make me bring up his name because I don't know. He was from the visiting team. He slept with a baseball bat because he was so worried about it. And people have reported hearing female voices in the hallway or hear people walking down the hallway and they look out the door and there's nobody there. And so, I mean, it's a notoriously haunted place. Yes.
What good is a baseball bat going to do?
I just made him feel better. I don't know.
It's a placebo.
Well, you know,
he's going to take, let's say for a second, let's walk down this trail. A ghost shows up. That's adorable. A ghost shows up. He takes one swing and he's going to go, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
It's going to go right through him.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you never seen Ghostbusters?
Come on. Basics. Ghost basics.
Yeah. Well, you've got Shakers is notoriously haunted, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
They do tours.
And you can stay there.
You can stay there, but there are more than one person that I have spoken with that said, you do not go in the basement of Shakers. You do not.
Now, this is a bar in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on 2nd Street.
And who is haunting it, do we know?
Well, from what I understand, there's been a young girl that's been seen there that maybe before Shakers was built, she was killed on this site. And then I think there's a woman, too.
That building has a history of ill repute.
Ah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Some brothel action going on.
Correct.
Yes.
But I hear it's pretty scary down in the basement.
Well, if that's your thing, like Greg said, they do tours, and I know you can stay there. Another place on this list from upnorthnewswi.com, the Wisconsin Dells Haunted History Trolley Tour.
Oh, okay.
It may be the water park capital of the world, but if you believe in ghosts, you can take this Haunted History Trolley Tour to learn about Wisconsin Dells' spine-chilling tales. The Broadhouse Grill, church-turned restaurant, is rumored to house the spirits of both a young girl and a Union soldier.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind something like that. I just don't want people jumping out at me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't go to, like, I don't do any of that stuff.
No haunted houses?
No haunted houses. I'm not paying someone $35 to make me almost pee myself.
That's hilarious. Well, I used to do, like, Little Bohemia up north where Dillinger and Capone used to vacation. That's supposed to be haunted, too. But I will tell you this one haunted house story, because Liz and I used to do them all the time. And we were at the Hills Have Eyes, which is really scary.
Yes, it is.
It can be very scary. But we were going into, we had to go through like a building. This is back in the day. We had to go through a building first, but we waited in line for like 2 hours. And she got hungry and she's like, can I have something to eat? And I'm like, sure. So we bought her a hot dog. Well, the first place we went was nothing but these strobe lights going off.
Uh-oh.
And she looked at me and she goes, Mom, I'm going to throw up.
Oh, God. And you just got in there.
And we just got in there. And we had walked past this, when you say somebody jumping out at you, somebody on stilts, and they were really tall. And then, so then I turn around and I'm trying to get her out, and I'm going, to, you know, like I'm swimming upstream. And this creature would not let us pass. And I was just like, all right. So I went into mom mode, and I remember I looked at him, I go, if you don't want throw up all over you, get out of the way.
You shall not pass without paying $17.95.
Yeah, I was away. I just sat there and waited for my girlfriend and her son to get through.
So he let you out after that?
Well, he didn't want throw up all over him. So.
Who does? Well, that's a question.
Now we know how to deal with a ghost.
We got a text from Mama Bri herself.
Oh, what does Mama Bri say?
Mike and I, this is Mike, this is Krista, not me and Mike. He's a married man.
Gotcha.
Mike and I had our first kiss in the Shaker's basement.
That's right. I remember her telling me that. I didn't realize it was Shakers.
So you do go in the basement and you get a little
you get a little love. Fun. Get a little love.
Oh my gosh.
Wes from Middleton is checking in on the text line at 844-967-2789. Governor's Island in Madison, top tier spooky. An old TB sanatorium. Mendota Hospital, Ed Gein's last residence is right up on the hill, the old cemetery. Great view of the Capitol in downtown Madison. Great for an eerie fall hike.
Great cheese curds, too.
And you know what? Speaking of that, I just watched on Netflix, it's Ed Gein in his own words. I know. And it's him being interviewed by police. And it's like a 2-hour documentary in two parts. And I thought it was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And all of the movies that he inspired. I mean, we can talk. We're going to talk movies later on. But all the movies that his story inspired is just unbelievable.
Because it was so horrifying.
Well, grave robber.
Just horrifying. Yeah. One more place on this list that I wanted to cover, because you had mentioned that other place that supposedly a lot of gangsters hung out on.
Little Bohemia.
So this is the Four Seasons Island Resort in Pembine, which is almost on the Wisconsin-Michigan border, a little south of Crivitz. It's literally in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
But the picture of it is beautiful. It's this gorgeous resort, but it reminds me of the place in The Shining.
Oh, the Overlook?
Overlook. Sure. Just, I mean, a little bit, but it's been open for 120 years, a hangout for Al Capone, still a hangout for spirits and ghost hunters. So if that's your thing, check out the Four Seasons Islands Resort. You can find this whole list at upnorthnewswi.com. We'll put that in our show notes after the end of the show. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Madnair in for Kristen Bry. Kristen joins us now on Wednesdays at 10:33 until 11 o'clock while she's on maternity leave. So make sure you join us. You can either listen, you can watch on the stream and see how little Frankie Lou is doing. Greg Bach on the board, Carol Kane in studio with me in downtown Waukesha. And we'd love to hear from you at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, talking about creepy places, if that's your thing. And a lot of people are into it with Halloween right around the corner, scary places right in your own backyard. And even if it's not necessarily a haunted place, but I found this in the Waukesha Freeman. There's a house in Waukesha, the Halloween House of Waukesha South, and they've been doing this for 22 years, and they go all out.
Really?
I am just always so impressed by people who take it to the next level like that. They start in mid-September.
Oh my gosh, that's...
Setting really? Up a month and a half.
They set up. That's an amazing dedication.
It really is. It really is.
There used to be, is it an actual haunted house that you can go through?
No, it's their home. They decorate the outside. But over the course of 22 years, this has become pretty much a destination Halloween stop in Waukesha.
There was a house, I remember, on Maryland on the east side of Milwaukee. And there were a couple of artists that lived in it. And one year, because I kept hearing about this thing, and so one year I'm like, I got to go and check this thing out. And what they did was they made the entire front of their house into a werewolf head that Jeez. Came out.
Wow.
And then the mouth was open with the teeth. So you had to walk through the mouth to get into the house through the door. It was absolutely unbelievable.
That's amazing that yeah. people will go to that extent.
Yeah.
They do at this Waukesha Halloween Haunted House of Waukesha South. They do have donations. They do take donations for the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha, which is great. That is a wonderful organization. You and I have talked to them many, many
right,
times.
Right, right.
Well, and so if you can do that and make a little donation, that would be
that's
wonderful.
That's where Beauregard came from.
Oh, you came from Haas?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So there was you mentioned this Winchester house.
There's the Winchester Mansion, which is in California. And I looked it up. I misspoke off the air. The Winchester Mystery House is a mansion in San Jose, California. It was once the personal residence of Sarah Winchester, the widow of firearms magnate William Wirt Winchester. It's become a tourist attraction. And here's the reason why. She just kept adding on to it. And it's like 24,000 square feet or something like that. Yeah.
Well, I can see how you'd get cramped.
It's a shack.
Sure.
but there are staircases that go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
There, she would add a room from like, it's just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. And they have tours. And you can get a tour. And it's supposed to be very haunted. Very, very haunted.
It just sounds interesting architecturally.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Gettysburg is also said to be very haunted. They've had people take pictures and there are ghostly images that appear in the fields. But, you know, there are a lot of lost souls there.
Absolutely.
Liz did something fun. Have you ever heard of the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs?
California?
No.
Where is Eureka Springs?
Arkansas. I think it's Arkansas.
Okay.
Anyhow, so she was visiting her friend in Missouri, and she decided, because she's all into this creepy stuff, too. She's very much like her mother.
All right.
And so she went down and booked a room and stayed in this hotel all by herself, took the tour. She didn't see anything. She was supremely disappointed. But it was very interesting for her to do. And also, the other thing, I saw this on Nat Geo, and it's the Clown Motel.
Oh, that sounds, that's
hard
the,
pass.
Just the title is terrifying.
Yeah.
The Clown Hotel.
The Clown Hotel. And what this hotel is, and I am not sure exactly where it is, but you could look it up. It's right there. The old Tonopah Cemetery. I don't know exactly.
Is it a cemetery?
No. It's next Tonopah, to a cemetery.
It's in Tonopah, Nevada.
Okay. So here's what the whole theory is. And people who have stayed at the hotel say they have seen the specter of this clown, like, standing over their bed.
Oh, yay.
But they show the cemetery next to this Clown Motel, and they have this image of this clown walking across the cemetery and going through the fence and then going into the hotel and haunting the people that are staying there. To which my son, I said, Alex hates clowns. And he said to me once, he goes, Mom, I have three goals. And I said, well, what are they? And he says, I want to get a good job. Great. I want to have a nice house. Great.
Sure.
I want to kick a clown in the Australia.
Excuse me?
Australia is the land down under. And I said, okay, you know, I'm kind of in on one and two.
I can go with those.
But we need to investigate number three. But I sent the link to him, and he goes, oh, I can't wait to not go.
Yeah, Clown Motel. Yeah.
No, it's really creepy. If you look it up, oh, boy.
I looked it up. No,
not,
thank you.
Not going.
No, thank you.
We will attach all of these links to the show notes after the end of the show. If you want, maybe you want to book a night at the Clown Hotel, you can certainly do that. And John from the Falls checking in on the text line. Honestly, nothing about Halloween scares me anymore. It's probably because I live in a country with a heavily armed dystopian cult willing to do whatever their supreme leader tells them to. No haunted house can be worse.
Wow.
Than this.
Wow, John. Way to take a hard right turn on that. this fun topic.
Yeah, it's but he's
fine.
Not wrong.
He's not wrong. All right. When we come back, Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about scary movies, the old and the new, which ones still hold up. And there are some classics that still scare the crap out of me. And that's the only way I will watch scary movies, if I know where all the spoilers are.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Yeah, oh, man. I've done that too.
Have you?
I've read like the Wikipedia synopsis, and I'm like, I know exactly where all the murder and blood and scary is happening.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing more exhilarating. I think it's because it makes me feel alive. Because all of a sudden it's like, oh.
That big adrenaline rush?
Yeah.
Do you know what, Carol? I'm sitting here right now. I'm feeling being alive. I don't need a movie to help.
If you want to text in with your favorite scary movies, what are you watching this time of year? Halloween is coming up next Tuesday already, and then it will be November. So let us know what you think stood up or what new horror movies you are looking forward to. We'll take your texts at 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We have the news coming up in just a moment. Make sure you download the app. You can take us with you wherever you go. It's super easy to download, and it's pretty snappy app too, as far as being able to call directly from the app. You can text directly from the app, and you can also check out all of these civic media stations all across the state. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Anyone knows what's on tap. It's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Leaders of both parties in the Wisconsin Assembly say the push to impeach Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is a distraction. Republican Scott Krug and Democrat Lee Snodgrass spoke to a WISP Politics luncheon yesterday. Krug says there is a way forward that doesn't involve who's running WEC. He says he wants a better working relationship with local clerks. More than $388 million worth of key construction projects around Wisconsin are getting the green light from the State Building Commission. They include new buildings and upgrades at state parks, prisons and universities, and other state-owned buildings. There'll be security improvements at Techeeta Women's Prison. Work will also get started on a new Wisconsin History Museum on Madison's Capitol Square. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Cameron man was arrested after being accused of criminal damage and resisting arrest. According to the Lake Haley Police Department, around 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 37-year-old Michael Ludwigson of Cameron was stopped by authorities after they received a call for a man suspected of drinking alcohol and causing damage to vehicles. Ludwigson allegedly caused nearly $10,000 in damage and refused to hand over a bottle of whiskey to police officers as they tried to arrest him. The Wisconsin Ethics Committee held a long debate on Thursday regarding $20 cash donations. Under Wisconsin law, anonymous political donations are limited to just $10. However, many of those donations are collected in cash at fundraising tables, and how to handle a $20 bill being found in one of the jars is unclear. One of the options that was proposed was to have the campaign committee donate the entire $20 donation to either the Common School Fund or a charitable organization. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons, like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Bucks win their season opener. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won a thriller at Fiserv Forum, the final 118-117 over the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but Philly came back in the fourth quarter. Giannis had 23 points and 13 rebounds.
We were up, then they came back. You know, I felt we could take care of the ball better, take the game away from them when we were up 18 or we were up 12 or something, I don't remember. But we're going to come back, we're going to be better.
Damian Lillard scored 39 points, setting a new team record for a debut.
It wasn't them telling me, you got to score, you got to do this. It was just, you know, they trust my judgment. They inbounded it to Giannis. I was just kind of reading him like, you know, what you want to do. And he was like, come get the ball.
Adrian Griffin gets the win in his first game as the head coach and gave the credit to Lillard.
You just got a sense during the game he wasn't going to let us lose. What can I say? You know, he was incredible.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over.
Mostly cloudy right away this morning. We'll see a little off and on sunshine here through the afternoon. Our high in the low 50s this morning. We're going to drop into the upper 30s to low 40s by late this afternoon. So today is a big transition day. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, cloudy with some snow showers in the afternoon and a high of 37. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap.
you for joining us on As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Rye, Greg Bach on the board, Carol Kane with me in studio.
Yep.
And joining us on the stream on Milwaukee.com's own Matt Miller. And we're going to talk scary things, Matt. We're going to talk scary movies.
It's spooky movie season.
Spooky season. Well, now, as a movie reviewer, you have to watch everything.
I try. I've skipped a lot of the bad faith-based movies that have come out in recent years.
Like which ones?
Who burn.
like the various God's Not Deads and the various...
Left Behind.
You know what? Left Behind, the last Left Behind movie starred Nicolas Cage. So that's...
It did?
Yeah, Nick needed some money. Nick was on hard times.
Well, he's got a lot of exes he has to pay off, so I suppose you got to work where you can find
him. He spends a lot of money poorly.
So let's start with old scary movies that still hold up, that stand the test of time. Which would be your picks?
Yeah, my favorite scary movie is The Shining. I believe it's actually going to be, if you're in the Milwaukee area, I believe it's back on the big screen at the Times Cinema this weekend. So if you haven't gotten to see it on the big screen. I love The Shining. I think it is deeply eerie. I think it's scary on a visceral level, but also scary on a like get under your skin, unsettling discomfort. I think that movie's tremendous. I also think a lot of the Hitchcock still holds up. I love Psycho. I think Psycho is a genuinely really scary movie. Perfectly made. I think it is an ideal, I guess you could call it a slasher movie, but it's just so impeccably crafted and so fun to watch. I remember watching that movie as a kid.
Really?
And like taking a shower, but with the curtains like drawn. So it's like I had like a 180 degree view. Like everyone's like, nothing's going to sneak up on me here.
I'm not going to be taken by surprise. Exactly.
And your mom's like, why is there water everywhere?
Yeah, I had a talking to. There was a big conversation about what scary movies young Matt can watch that week. And it's weird to think of this as an older movie now, but it is over 20 years old now at this point. But The Ring is still a really creepy movie. I feel like people gave that movie a side eye because it was a big teen movie at the time and it got parodied a lot. And then obviously VHSs became very fastly outdated. But that movie's still really creepy and really impeccably crafted. I would love it if Gore Verbinski, the director, made more movies again. I think he just makes too weird of movies for Hollywood, so they've stopped giving him money. But it's a shame because a lot of his stuff, even his bad movies, are interesting and visually just fascinating to look at.
I agree with you about The Ring. That is a really scary film. Mm-hmm. And I guess
it's just got dread dripping out of it. It's like you feel that movie just eerying into your room when you watch it on TV. And like they have maybe the best jump scare of all time, in my opinion, which is like the random cut in the beginning of the movie to the dead girl in the closet that wrecked closets for me as a child. Showers, closets, most confined spaces were utterly ruined for me as a child.
How do you feel about clowns?
You know what? I'm fine with clowns, honestly. I think clowns get a bad rep. I do think smiles are creepy, though. Like that horror movie that came out 2 years ago, Smile.
Yeah.
That movie was that hit me in a place in the back of my head. There's a bad movie called The Black Dahlia from a few years ago.
Oh, by I remember hearing about that.
It's a bad movie, and it's barely about the Black Dahlia murders, but there's like stuff involving the man who smiled in that movie. And for some, just that alone wigged me out. I was like, the movie's bad. Creepy smile guy, don't like him. Get him out of my movie.
You're right, though, about Smile. It is very, very creepy. And I have a friend of mine who I said, you should watch this. And he called me at home and he goes, I got 15 minutes in and that's enough. Not doing it. Not doing it.
It's funny because it's very much like The Ring, but what if the tape was a smiling person?
Right.
You know, it's kind of a fun play.
You know what other one that I really, it was at the very end of the movie, it was like, no way, one of those is The Vanishing from 1988. They redid it, I think, with Jeff Bridges and things like that. But it's, it's a really, really interesting movie, and it's just a shock at the end. So you should check that out.
Yeah, that's a good deep cut. I should let people know. I should shamelessly plug for a second. I do have a list of 100 good scary movies you can stream on Milwaukee.com, whether you have Netflix or Hulu or Peacock or whatever cockamamie, streaming services are out there now. But there's a bunch of really good horror movies out there for people to check out. If you haven't seen, this is going to be weird. So have you watched The Haunting of Hill House?
Yes.
So that's a director named Mike Flanagan, who's tremendous. He's a great filmmaker, great horror filmmaker. He's so good. He made a really good horror sequel to the Ouija movie. They made a horror movie out of the Ouija board. And the first one that came out is awful. It's very bad. Do not watch Ouija, the original. But Ouija Origin of Evil was directed by Mike Flanagan. And it's really good. If you like Haunting of Hill House, Midnight Mass, the Fall of the House of Usher is this new one on Netflix. If you like that kind of horror with like an emotional kick to it, I think you'd really dig Ouija Origin of Evil. It's startling. I remember seeing that in theaters and being like, what is business does this Ouija sequel have being good? It was bizarre.
Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com is our guest. We're getting into scary season. Halloween's right around the corner. Talking about old scary films that stand the test of time and new scary ones that are great as well. Wes from Middleton, Matt, says The Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix is excellent.
It's excellent.
Eerie with some good jump scares, not too gory, which that clears the way for me to watch it then. Best part of the whole thing was you really root against all of the characters. So while it's scary, you feel a little bit of justice the entire time.
Yeah, he's a really great filmmaker. He also tried to do the Shining sequel from a few years ago, Dr. Sleep, which I don't love that movie. I think it kind of tries to be a Shining sequel in its own thing at the same time. It's like a sequel to the book and the movie at the same time. So there's like soul-sucking vampires and you're in it. And you're like, what is this doing in a Shining sequel? But even that is better than it should be because Mike Flanagan is a really good filmmaker. He really invests a lot of emotion into his TV shows and movies. He really finds the core that really kind of, again, gets under your skin. That's a good horror movie. Anything can startle you. There's a bug next to my computer screen right now, and it startled me when I saw it. That doesn't mean that bug is, Stanley Kubrick, So
wouldn't it be cool if it was, though?
What if he got reincarnated as this bug? What a twist.
Box Elder, the movie.
There you go.
I just want to share with everyone here, you'll all be proud of me for the first three or four years ago. I think it was 4 years ago. I sat down and watched the original Halloween.
Oh, what'd you think?
Oh, it's awesome.
It was interesting because it's, of course, of the times. It's like, it's not super gory. It's got the jump scares, but not too many. But what I found very interesting about that movie is, where a lot of movies, it's about the POV of the person looking and then being, the jump scare.
Yeah.
Where this movie, they bury the lead and you just they'll turn the camera and there he is. And you can see him. It's still scary, but it's not like you're not terrified. You're like, oh my gosh. And also, I feel like had any of those kids picked up the pace, they'd been fine. Michael Myers, not a runner. He's not a runner. He's just not.
He was not an athlete.
It's working on nightmare logic, In your nightmares, you're always so slow. You're always so unable to get any distance from whatever's chasing you. So that's the kind of fun nightmare logic of Halloween and horror movies like that. I do find it interesting revisiting the classic horror movies because so many of them, the tropes have been so overused. I watched the original Exorcist this past week.
Yep.
And watching it, it just doesn't hit me the same way because all of the stuff that's scary in that movie when it originally came out 50-some years ago has now been in every possession movie, in every Exorcist movie ever since. So, her talking like a grumbly 78-year-old man, isn't scary anymore because it's like, oh, well, that's the same vocal effect they've been doing in The Pope's Exorcist with Russell Crowe.
Well, and good heavens, now we're using projectile vomiting in comedies, like Pitch Perfect, So that takes a little of the edge away from that particular effect.
Yeah, and you forget how long it takes to get to the exorcism in the original exorcism. It doesn't start happening until like the there's like 20 minutes left in the movie. Yeah. You're like, this movie should really, it's like more of a domestic drama. And then all of a sudden it's like, ah, she's sure saying something she shouldn't be.
Matt, I have a question for you. Are you excited for the sequel to Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
No, I am not, because I actually saw Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and it's the worst movie you'll see this year. It's awful. And I'm not saying this is like a prude who can't handle, you know, gore and stuff like that. I saw Terrifier 2. Like, I've seen messed up stuff. But, like, it's so lazy. Like, it's so clearly a movie that was whipped together because Winnie the Pooh became public access, public use, and the director was like, ha! What would be crazy? A horror movie with Winnie the Pooh. I have $20. Let's make a horror movie.
It's that's hilarious. Crazy.
It's gross. It's choppily made. It's shoddily made. Don't waste your time on it. It is not worth the lols. There are funnier, campier movies to watch than Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
You know what? You have to. We have to talk about like Jaws, Silence of the Lambs, you know, I mean, those were all very scary movies because they played with you psychologically. Like, you never knew where the shark was going to show up.
Right.
Now, did they ruin the franchise? Yes. But the initial Jaws and Jaws 2 are very good. And Silence of the Lambs, I think he won Best Director. She won Best Actress and Anthony Hopkins won. And that's the first horror movie to get those big three, right?
Yeah, I think it won all of the major awards that year, if I remember right. It won picture, director, actor, actress. Yeah, so like it won the big four that year. And again, a horror movie. And if I remember right, a horror movie that came out really early in that year, which, I mean, obviously with the changes in the Academy and things of that nature, you know, older, like more recent or older movies from a year have a better chance at, you know, doing well. But back in 1990, 91, when that came out, that was kind of rare for a movie to like hang on for that long and live out all the buzz and all the backlash and the backlash to the backlash and to win Best Picture as a horror movie.
Yeah.
That movie is incredible. That movie is really, really well made. And it speaks to, Greg brought this up a little bit with Halloween too. Jump scares are fine. They're fun. They're exhilarating. But I do love in a horror movie when something creepy is going on and it's like the camera doesn't even realize it's happening. So like if you've seen The Strangers, which is another really good modern horror movie, that one's on Netflix right now. There's a lot of shots and it's just a home invasion movie. Husband and wife in their house get visited by three masked killers. And there's a bunch of shots in it where it's just her standing in a room. Liv Tyler is the lead. And all of a sudden, you just see the serial killer just like standing in the back of the room, just like not doing anything, just like checking things out and surveillancing.
These are lovely
and that's
sconces.
Creepy to me. The like the calm and the unease of like, oh, this is just like eerie creepiness. That's the stuff that hits me right in the scare centers.
If you want to share your favorite scary movies, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We will take your calls and your texts when we come back from the break. I'll get one in here real quick from the 262, Dave and the Shaw. I love old Universal monster movies. The Wolfman, yes. Dracula. My favorites is the one that brings all those characters together. Abbott and Costello, Meet Frankenstein. I watch it every October. I love that movie.
That's hilarious.
You know, and you know what? Those movies have such... I was just talking with a friend today about this, where it's like even crummy old movies back in the day, they felt like movies because they really like cared about lighting and they were doing their best to make something that looked cool with the little limited resources they had. Obviously, those four Universal Monster movies, they had a little bit more budget than, you know, like... dunk, but they're still like gothic and creepy. I really love the atmosphere of those, the gothic vibe.
We're going to continue this conversation on the other side of the break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Give me half a chance, 'cause I'm not dead yet. Not dead yet.
To As Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach on the board, Carol Kane in studio, and Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com joining us on the stream. You can check in as well at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Talking scary movies, old and new. Which ones have stood the test of time? What are your favorites? We have Mark from the SAC on the phone. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, and I enjoy the old horror movies. One I can remember, you know, seeing on television as a child was Tales of Terror. Were three Poe stories. One was Morella, The Black Cat, and the facts of the case of M. Valdemar. When the case of M. Valdemar ends up with, you know, all that was left of M. Valdemar was a, you know, a pool of bubbling pluorescence. But both of them, all three of them are kind of, there's humor in them, and there's also, you know, that the whole horror aspect of them that is kind of, you know, was really scary at the time.
Sure.
But, I mean, some of the new ones are just you know, what more imaginative ways can we have to cut people up? And with,
yeah,
considering some of the stuff that's going on in real life these days, I mean, that's horrifying enough. That
right.
Thank you so much, Mark. I can't do gore. I can't handle it. I can't take it. I find it very upsetting, yeah, which is why these movies, I mean, in Silence of the Lambs, granted, has got some pretty icky stuff in there, but it's not like we're watching people cut off their own hands so they can get away, like the Saw movies and all that stuff.
I was going to say, I don't know what Saw franchise you're talking about.
I can't do it.
For as little as horror movies I can do, because I get grossed out and the scare thing kind of gets me. One thing I did watch as a kid, and I watched it all the time, was Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, yeah.
It was gory, yeah, but it was hilarious. It was so funny.
Well, I will say that the one horror movie that it's very troublesome, but at the end there's vindication, is Hostel. You know what I mean? I watched, yeah, Hostel, and there were a couple of pieces during that movie. I was like, oh, no.
I can't.
And then, but at the end, I was like, yeah, get him.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Our news director, Terry Bell, is a horror fan. Good morning, Terry. What's your favorite horror movie?
Hi, Jane. Yeah, I'm a horror fan come lately, so to speak. I never used to like horror movies at all for all the reasons that have been stated, and mostly because, well, they're dumb. And, but lately, it's been a real renaissance lately. They've been making really smart horror movies, well-told stories for grown-ups that just happen to be scary. The studio A24 has been really good at this. Midsommar, X, Pearl, Barbarian. It's been a really good a stretch of time lately for scary movies that don't insult your intelligence.
Yeah, and I do think financially and critically, we are in kind of a horror movie golden age right now, even more so than comic book movies right now, horror movies are the best bet at the box office. And that's always been the case on some level because horror movies are cheap to make.
Sure.
And so they don't have to make that much money to get their money back. But right now, I mean, we are looking at this Five Nights at Freddy's movie that's coming out this weekend, potentially having a bigger opening weekend than the new Marvel's movie coming out in 2 weeks. And if you look at the box office across the board, the movies that are actually making money are the horror movies. They're doing really well. And again, part of that is because they're cheap to make. So in that case, you know, a $40 million opening weekend is great for a horror movie. Whereas if you're Indiana Jones 5 and you cost $300 million to make, well, it's a disaster. And I'm interested to see if there is a move towards the economics of these horror movies of being like, why are we spending so much money on these old franchises, on these CGI-laden IP brands that we need to make $1 billion to make our money back? Why aren't we going back to making $40 to $50 million movies that, you know, can be modest hits and make their money back? And if they don't do great, well, okay, well, that's fine. You know, it's not that much of a money loss as opposed to, like I said, like an Indiana Jones 5, which has made like $400 million worldwide, but means it's a massive loser because it needed to make like $800 million to even just get out of the red.
Thank you so much for calling, Terry. We only got a couple of minutes left. 844-967-2789. I just want to mention two of what I think are the best scary movies in the last couple of years. It's The Quiet Place and The Quiet Place 2.
Oh, that's a great
directed one. By Jim Halpert.
Yeah,
there is this interesting thing where comedy people are the best horror creators right now. Obviously, Jordan Peele with Get Out and Us and Nope. I think he's 3 for 3 personally. And Barbarian was just mentioned by that caller. That's directed by a guy who used to be in The Whitest Kids You Know, the comedy troupe.
That's right.
Yeah. Zach Breton, I think his name is. And, you know, you have Jim Halpert, you know, you've got him directing the first two Quiet Place movies. And you think about it, and it's like, well, it makes sense because horror and comedy are not that far off in terms of, you know, build up and playing with the audience and twists and turns and then hitting a punchline in the same way that, you know, a scary scene has to hit the punchline. There's a reason why comedy and horror have similarities in that way. And you're playing with expectations, which the best horror movies do, instead of, you know, just playing out the cliches as always.
One last caller, Brian from Maguanago. Good morning, Brian. Hi. Thank you so much for joining us.
I got to agree with you about gore. I'm not a big fan of that. But one movie that got me in my early 20s, and I think maybe because I saw it in a theater with some really good surround sound, was Event Horizon with Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill.
Oh, yeah. That's like a sci-fi horror.
Really good. Yeah, scary sci-fi. That was one of my all-time favorites.
What's the name of it, Brian?
What I saw in the theater. Event Horizon.
Event Horizon. I'll have to write that down. Thank you so much for calling. Really appreciate it.
Thank
it is interesting that there's not that many sci-fi horror movies, and maybe that's in part because, you know, Alien kind of crushed it right out the ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
And like space just seems like such an obvious place to set a horror movie because there's truly deeply no escape. But it's like Alien came out and it was like, oh, they killed it. They did great.
Anything else?
We got that covered.
Anything else we should go see that's coming up?
I want to recommend a little hidden gem that's on Netflix called His House, about an immigrant couple moving into a new apartment in England. It came out in the pandemic 2020 year, and it kind of got overlooked. Really good. If you're more into the psychological horror, that's one to check out.
Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com, Carol Kane, Greg Bach, thank you all of you for listening and for calling and for texting. Have a happy Halloween weekend.
Yep.
We will be back with you on Monday starting at 10 a.m. Thank you so much for joining us on As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CMS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WCFW Chippewa Falls and WRPQ Baraboo.
CBS